Playfully Planned Parenthood by Chris Call Me Sweetie and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past and Podfix by Jules. Summary: returning home from the registry office, newlywed husbands Sherlock and John launch into an increasingly fanciful discussion of their potential parenthood. John is giddy with the joy of having just married the love of his life, while Sherlock is doing his best to pretend he isn't every bit as giddy. An homage to all of the amazing ParentLock podfix out there, many of which provided inspiration for this work. See how many references you recognize, then check the end notes to find out how you did. Chomped. Put me down.
But it's traditional for the groom to carry the bride across the threshold.
When have we ever been traditional?
There's a first time for everything.
Oh, I'm not your bride.
You could be.
I really couldn't.
I think you'd look lovely in a long white dress.
Put me down before you pull a muscle or ruin our honeymoon.
There. Right where I wanted you.
On the sofa. I thought you were aiming for the bedroom.
Not yet. I thought we'd wait for Mrs. Hudson to clear off on the trip she gave us as a wedding gift.
Ah, Hudders. What would we do without her?
You're about to find out, just as soon as she's gone.
That may take a while. I can hear her downstairs chatting away to Mrs. Turner. Once those two get going, there's no stopping them.
I know. Mrs. Hudson's pleased as punch now that she's finally got married ones of her own.
True, but now that Mrs. Turner's married ones are having a baby, Mrs. Hudson's been hinting to me that we should do the same.
Seriously?
Seriously. She said she wouldn't mind hearing the pitter-patter of little feet coming from our flat.
Mrs. Turner's married ones have the advantage there. After all, a lesbian couple has twice as many uteruses as a straight couple. We haven't got any uteruses at all. Is it uteruses or uteri?
How would I know? You're the doctor.
I'm not a gynecologist. I've never had to deal with more than one at a time.
Good to know. But whatever they're called, you're right. We haven't got any.
We do know people with uteruses, though. Or uteri.
I cannot imagine that we know anyone with more than one uterus.
No, but it only takes one.
What's your point?
Well, maybe one of them would have a baby for us.
Why on earth would they do that?
Maybe you'd accidentally get one of them pregnant.
Molly got over her crush on me long ago, and no one else has ever expressed an interest.
What about Sally Donovan? Maybe all her taunting is just unresolved sexual tension.
Bite your tongue, John Hamish Watson.
What if I bite yours instead?
I think that would be setting a dangerous precedent. After all, you're the one who instituted the no teeth in the bedroom except by request rule.
But we're not in the bedroom.
Still, I think it's wise to limit the use of teeth on sensitive body parts.
Have it your way. I'll bet Sally would be a good mum, though. And think of the beautiful curly hair your baby would have.
Yes, Sally Donovan and I would make exceptionally attractive babies. But even though she stopped calling me freak, I can't imagine either of us ever willingly having sex with each other.
Well, what if you were both drunk?
The amount of alcohol I'd have to consume to even consider such a thing would probably make me incapable of following through. Speaking of which, let's crack open that talisker.
25-year-old single malt scotch. Has got to cost a fortune. I can't imagine how Douglas could afford to buy this for us.
He stole it.
Oh, well, I hope whoever he stole it from doesn't want it back, 'cause this is the best whiskey I've ever tasted.
Agreed. What shall we toast to?
Possibilities.
Possibilities.
Okay. Since it's not technically impossible, humor me by imagining Sally Donovan having your baby.
The idea certainly is humorous. Ludicrous would be another word for it.
Come on. Just as a thought experiment. See if you can come up with a way that something so improbable could be the truth.
Well, I suppose if we were out at one of those pub nights you're always trying to drag me to with the Yarders, and Anderson stood her up, and you left with some woman you just met, Donovan and I might turn to each other for consolation.
Consolation? So that's what they're calling it these days.
Shut up.
Make me.
How about, instead of making you shut up, I make you come up with an improbable scenario in which you might be the one to get somebody pregnant?
Challenge accepted. Let's see. What if you hadn't been able to get in touch with me after your fake funeral to take me with you?
I would never have done that to you.
Even though we weren't together yet?
John, we've always been together.
Even when you were married to your work instead of to me?
From the moment you shot the cabbie, I'd say we've been in a polyamorous relationship with the work.
I suppose we have. Okay, well, what if, back then, I thought you'd never feel the same way about me that I did about you, and I met a woman who was also in love with someone she thought she could never have, so we decided to get married.
I hear they're calling that consolation.
Yes, yes, cover boots. Anyway, maybe we'd have a kid. And then, once you and I finally got our heads out of our arses, I'd divorce her and marry you. But we'd all stay friends.
So, a polyamorous relationship with the work and your ex-wife?
Well, I'd have about as much sex with her as I do with the work. But other than that, bang on. She and the kid could move into 219. I'm sure Mycroft could pull some strings to get us the necessary permits to put in a door between the two flats, and the four of us could be one big, happy family.
That sounds horrifying.
Your turn, then. Other than Sally, who else might you impregnate?
How much of that Talisker have you downed? No women are not my area.
Come on. Thought experiment, remember? You like experiments. Here, let me refill your glass.
Fine, fine. I'll play your little game, though I won't dignify it by calling it an experiment.
Call it whatever you like, so long as you play.
This really is outstanding scotch. Okay, if you'd gone off and left me...
Which I'd never do.
You just spun out a whole scenario in which you not only left me, but got married to someone else.
Yes, but I'd never actually do it.
Obviously. But do you want me to play this ridiculous game, or don't you?
Go ahead. Just so long as we're clear, it's all make-believe.
Right. So, if you'd gone off and left me, I might have fallen back into older, shall we say, habits. And if I were high enough, some junkie and I might have engaged in behaviors that wouldn't otherwise appeal.
That doesn't sound like a very promising start.
No, but it could have a happy ending. I'd get clean, she'd give me the baby, you'd come back to me, and we'd raise him together.
Would you want that? The raising a baby together part, I mean?
I never really thought about it until Mrs. Hudson started dropping her none-too-subtle hints. I'm certainly not interested in any of these hypothetical situations in which one or the other of us has to have sex with a woman.
Of course not. But we could adopt.
Oh, right. Who on earth would let us adopt a child?
Well, what if Moriarty had a son that no one knew about? And after his entire network was dismantled, there is no one left to take care of him except us.
Moriarty? Any child of his would be a psychopath.
Not necessarily. Maybe the child would have Moriarty's genius, without the, you know, evil. He might be someone who could match your intellect and fashion sense.
I'll pass.
Okay, if you're not interested in adoption, I challenge you to come up with a scenario in which we could end up with a baby without having a woman involved.
I feel like I'm on that crap TV show you and Mrs. Hudson are always watching together.
What show?
You know, the one where the host says, "I'd like a suggestion for the title of a story," and some idiot in the audience yells out, "A Day in the Life of a Horny Llama."
Whose line is it anyway is not crap telly.
I stand corrected. It went off the air. It's on crap DVDs now.
I'd think you'd have more respect for improv. After all, you use it often enough on cases.
That's for the work, John, not for the entertainment of the moronic masses.
What about for the entertainment of your adoring husband?
The things I do for love.
Go ahead, then. Entertain me.
All right. Remember how I had to give Mycroft a DNA sample so he could falsify my death records?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if somehow the scientists at Baskerville got a hold of it and cloned me?
A clone baby would still need a woman to carry him to term.
She wouldn't be related to him in any way, though. Genetically, he'd be me.
As much as I love the idea of a tiny little you, wouldn't it be great if there was a way we could have a child that was biologically both of ours?
Yes, but that brings us back to the problem of no uteruses, or uteri, as the case may be.
Right. But I'd read some sci-fi stories where men could get pregnant.
Stories? Plural?
Yes, it's a whole genre.
That you read?
Not, like, obsessively, but I've read a few.
So in these stories, men and women are the same?
No, there are multiple genders. Everyone is either male or female, but then they also have a secondary gender as either alpha, beta, or omega. So some men can get pregnant.
I realize this is fiction, but how would that even work?
Well, you know that thing we don't do very often, but save for special occasions?
Special occasions like, for example, our wedding day?
Right, but only after Mrs. Hudson leaves because someone is a screamer and I don't want her phoning 999. Again.
I told you entirely responsible for that.
Yes, and so does Lestrade. He couldn't look me in the eye for a month afterwards. Anyway, imagine if that could get you pregnant.
That doesn't seem very sanitary.
No, but these stories aren't particularly concerned with hygiene. They're more along the lines of fantasy.
Okay, so in this fantasy I get pregnant with your baby?
But to make it more interesting, let's imagine you decided to use artificial insemination, with a sample from a soldier who was listed as deceased. Meanwhile, I was off in Afghanistan, getting shot, but they mixed up the paperwork. So when I came home, and Mike introduced us, you realized I was the father of your child.
And I deduced this how? By tan lines and the scratch marks on your phone?
No. See, in these stories, alphas and omegas have a heightened sense of smell, so you'd know right away that I smelled like your daughter.
That's disturbing.
Okay, maybe the scent part is weird, but aren't you curious about what a child that was part you and part me would look like?
I'm pretty sure there's an app for that.
Would be like, then.
I have to admit, the idea is intriguing.
You know, Harry had her eggs frozen back when she and Clara thought they might want kids someday. If you donated sperm and we hired a surrogate, we could have a child with 3/4 of our DNA.
Your sister's a recovering alcoholic. I've had my own struggles with addiction.
we might not make the best genetic combination.
Alcoholism and addiction aren't completely determined by genes. After all, look at me and Mycroft.
Says the man who's working on his third scotch.
Second! Although my glass is empty, and I wouldn't mind a third. This Tusker is heavenly.
Top me up while you're at it.
Anyway, it's the old story of nature and nurture. There'd be issues with any child we raised, regardless of DNA.
Is that your way of saying that no matter how perfect the baby's genes, we'd manage to botch it somehow?
No. I mean, we've all been botched one way or another, haven't we? But we still turned out okay.
So we did. How do you think a child of ours would turn out?
Well, Eugenia would probably start her own blog, sharing all of our secrets with the world.
Who's Eugenia?
The one who lives in 219 with her mum.
How could I forget?
And then Viola would be a little angel.
Viola being?
Sally's baby. I don't think we could handle having her right next door, but I'm sure Mycroft could arrange a flat for her a few streets over, so we could share custody.
You've got this all worked out, I see.
Yep. We'd have full custody of Albion, though, since you said his mother gave him up.
And what about Moriarty's demon spawn?
James? He'd be no end of trouble, but we'd love him anyway.
We do have a fondness for trouble.
Exactly. I'm sure Oliver would cause plenty as well.
Which one's Oliver?
Your clone. We couldn't just call him Mini Sherlock. He'd get teased on the playground.
Heaven forfend.
And little Annabelle would be perfect, of course, since you gave birth to her.
Naturally. But why have we got 6 children? Are we in need of cheap labor for our farm?
They're not 6 children. They're 6 possibilities.
You mean 6 impossibilities?
Rosie isn't impossible.
Who's Rosie?
Well, she doesn't exist yet, but she could.
You mean if we used Harry's frozen eggs?
Or another donor and a surrogate. Just hypothetically, of course.
And what would she be like, this hypothetical Rosie?
Brilliant, of course.
Obviously.
And we'd adore her.
But would she adore us?
Of course. Although, once she reached a certain age, I'm sure she'd be embarrassed by us, just like all kids are embarrassed by their parents.
And what exactly would she be embarrassed about? The fact that I keep body parts in the freezer and you wear hideous jumpers?
Hey, my jumpers are not hideous. And I'm pretty sure, growing up in this flat, she'd be used to the body parts in the freezer.
What then?
She'd probably be embarrassed by how ridiculously in love we are.
My feelings for you are not ridiculous. They're completely logical.
Is that so?
Yes, you bring in clients with your blog, your crack shot, and you stitch me up when things go wrong.
Don't forget, I'm also a damn good shag.
See, my love for you is perfectly logical.
Well, given that impeccable logic, we could try making a baby the old-fashioned way.
John, unless one of us has some hidden anatomy I've failed to deduce, I don't think that's going to work.
But I seem to remember you saying it's a mistake to theorize without data.
True. And I did just hear Mrs. Hudson leave.
Well, then, let's go get ourselves some data. Please check the end notes on AO3 for links to all of the wonderful works that inspired this podfic. Thank you for listening.